Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome to Soul Talk. This is Leora Mandel. I'll be joined with Rabbi David Aaron after the break. What does it mean to live a wise life, a life with wisdom? Now, I think we all have a certain understanding. There's different terms out there. There's knowledge, there's wisdom. But what is the difference between knowledge and wisdom? There's also an understanding today that there's different kinds of, even when we say knowledge, there's intelligence, there's knowledge like what's your intellect, you know, how many facts can you memorize? There's now an understanding, there's been a famous book that made our awareness on the concept of emotional intelligence, that it's not just about intellectual intelligence, I guess we'd call it, about how much information you can attain, but there's also the concept of emotionally being intelligent. We can also understand that there's a difference between knowing something and then how to actually apply it. There's people that are brilliant with facts, but they were not successful in doing much with that, except for, I guess, being on game shows, because there isn't just an ability to memorize information, which is great if you have that. There's also how do you apply it to your life. And yet I feel like you can have all these different kinds of intelligence, emotional intelligence, potentially intellectual intelligence, even can apply the intellectual information and do tremendous things. And yet a person could be lacking wisdom in their life. We can be living lives that sometimes feel somewhat empty or frustrated. Sometimes we can be very knowledgeable in a certain area, maybe professionally. But then in our personal lives, we find that things are falling apart. And we say, I'm such a smart person. I'm doing so well in one area of my life. Why is it that maybe the areas that even matter the most, my personal life and my relationships and my marriage with my children, things seem so lacking? Things seem like I'm not holding where I'd like things to be. So how do we understand the difference between wisdom and knowledge? And when we understand what wisdom really is, how can we apply it to our lives to make our lives more enriched, more meaningful, to really find the right balance in life so that what really matters, again, profession is important, but I think we can all understand this shouldn't be what life is all about. How can we find what really matters in our life? We're living life with a sense of wisdom, a sense of clarity on what can I do to make my relationships more enriched? What can I do for myself so I can feel better about myself as a person, who I am inside, not just about the information that I have in my head, but how can I live my life with wisdom? With true wisdom, and wisdom that's not just going to stay in a theoretical level, but that will really come into every aspect of my life, enrich it, enlighten it, and bring a sense of meaning and purpose to who I am and everyone who's with me. I hope you join me after the break, Soul Talk, Rabbi David Aaron and Leora Mandel, where I want to address this question to Rabbi Aaron, understanding the difference between knowledge and wisdom, and how understanding what wisdom truly is can enrich our lives.
Shalom, everybody. Making a difference often takes just one moment and one person at a time. I am Orly Benny Davis, your show host on Israel News Talk Radios from Jerusalem with love. You'll be hearing people talking about politics, religion, social issues, and making a better tomorrow. Join me, Orly Benny Davis, for God and Country. From Jerusalem with love.
Wednesdays on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome to Soul Talk. This is Leora Mandel with Rabbi David Aaron. Rabbi Aaron, I was recently thinking about an epiphany that I had when I was a teenager. I was listening to a conversation among adults. I think I was an older teenager at that point, but still not an adult myself. And they were talking about something maybe was either in the news, was out there about a surgeon who had made some very poor life choices. And the conversation they were discussing, they were saying, such a smart man, so intelligent. How can he make such bad decisions in his life? And I started thinking about that question of, yes, really smart person. To be a surgeon, you have to be really smart. You have to have a lot of knowledge. You have to have gone through a lot of years of schooling, very intelligent. And yet, this person had made some very poor life decisions. And it sort of hit me. This was the epiphany that knowledge and intelligence doesn't necessarily equate wisdom for life. But it's very interesting that sometimes we think of a person who's very knowledgeable and very intelligent that they should also be smart about their life. Have real wisdom for living, and that's not necessarily the truth. You can have people that are relatively simple on the level of intelligence and what they've maybe achieved as far as knowledge and education goes, but very wise as far as life goes. And there can be people in life that are very intelligent and have a tremendous amount of schooling and knowledge and education, but not necessarily wise about their life. And obviously, you can also have both. I think that's the best combination. But I think it is important to recognize this distinction between knowledge and intelligence and wisdom. There is a difference between knowledge and wisdom. And I'm thinking also the culture that we live in today, there is, at least for me growing up, such an emphasis on knowledge, getting an education, getting a college education, getting higher degrees. And as much as that can be helpful in life, we can be very, very educated. But wisdom, which is what will really help us live a more effective life, a more meaningful life, a more peaceful life, there isn't really a degree in that. There isn't really, as far as I can understand, schooling that you can go to, even though that is really, wisdom is the key for a meaningful, purposeful, uplifted life. So what I wanted to ask you about today is, how can we understand this distinction between knowledge and wisdom? And how do we make sure we get a real understanding of how we can sort of learn wisdom, apply wisdom, bring wisdom into our lives so that we can live a more meaningful and purposeful life?
It's actually a prayer that we make every day, a request that we make of Hashem, God, every day. You give a person knowledge and you give a human being bina, understanding. Grant us or grace us with knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. Baruch Ata Hashem, may there be an increased manifestation of you, God, in that you are chonen hadat, is that you grace us or you gift us with the knowledge. These Hebrew words, chachma bina dat, have been translated as wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. But those translations do not give us an understanding of what we're really asking for. The first thing I want to point out is it's actually in our daily prayers the very first request we make. And one could think, well, maybe shouldn't we first ask for, I don't know, health or livelihood or whatever? But clearly Judaism is saying that you can have everything, but if you don't have the intellectual capacity, then you will be lost. You know, like a friend of mine, his daughter, when she was a little girl, he said to her, honey, if you had a choice to be pretty or smart, which would you choose? And without hesitation, the little girl was like 5 years old. She said, smart. And he was very impressed by that. And he says, I'm curious why you picked smart. She says, well, you know, what would good looks help me if I were lost on the street? A little 5-year-old girl. You know, she said, good looks isn't going to get me where I need to go. I need to be intelligent. But there's different kinds of intelligence. And I would like to identify the three faculties of intelligence called Chachma, Bina, and Dat. So first of all, chachma is foresight. That's really what chachma is. It is a faculty. It's a power. It's a skill. It's referred to as mi hachacham, who is truly wise, a ro'et nolad, one who sees the birth, one who sees the outcome. It's basically what's referred to as sof ma'aseh b'machsheva tchila. It says that when before God created the world, He started with the end in mind. Yes, that's one of the 7 habits of highly effective people. And apparently God read Stephen Covey's book because he was a very highly effective God. And the first is to start with the end in mind. But to be able to start with the end in mind, to be able to envision the end, to see, to visualize, to dream what could be, that's called chachma. So, and like much people would think that that's like wisdom, like a lot of knowledge or being clever, chachma is the ability to see the outcome, to have foresight. It's goal-mindedness. It's visionary thinking. And it says that that another attribute of someone who has this chachma is that they learn from everybody. Meaning they are always in a question mode because they know that there is not one human being in the world that doesn't have, you know, wisdom that can be shared. And so such people, they have foresight as well as they are always very curious and always extremely open to learn from anybody and everybody. So that's a very different kind of, you know, when I was in school, I was told that I'm really smart. Why was I smart? Because I got high marks. Well, how did I get high marks? I studied the day before the exam, because if I studied earlier than that, I would have forgotten everything. And then the next day, I would be able to just simply repeat whatever I memorized that night for hours and hours and hours. And as soon as my exam was over, I probably forgot at least 50% of everything. And then within 2 hours, I forgot probably 90% of everything, because I had a short-term memory and I knew how to cram. But and yet they're telling me I'm smart. That's not smart. That's just being a clever computer, maybe not even such a clever computer, because at least computers hold on to their data, and I kept losing it. But most people think that education is data input and retaining data. But that doesn't make you into a chacham. That's not a wise person. In our tradition, a wise person is a person that sees the outcome, that can envision where it's all going. And that's the first thing. Do you have a goal? Is the reason why, my guess is that, you know, this doctor you had mentioned who made such poor life decisions but seemed to be such a brilliant doctor is because when it came to his life, he didn't really have clarity of his goal. I'm a doctor and I make a lot of money, or maybe I just love healing people and that's very beautiful. But what is the goal of my total life, not just my professional life? Because you have people that are really, really great in their professions, but really, really horrible in their marriages, in their parenting, in their friendships. So it starts with the end in mind, which is, what is the ideal marriage that you envision? What is the ideal parenting that you envision? What is the ideal home you envision? And you have to start with that end in mind, which means to start and really, you know, kind of dream. What could be? And I do encourage people to really very much visualize this in a very visceral way, you know, kind of like pick a moment in your future that would capture the success of your future. What are people saying? Where are you at this moment? What are you wearing? What smells do you, fragrances or odors are in the room? And really, really put yourself and start with the end in mind. Because you see, that becomes the North Star of your life. That's how you make decisions. When people are indecisive, it's because I don't have a compass to make my decision, because all I need to know is, where is the top of my mountain? And if I knew where the top of my mountain was, then it would be certainly a lot easier to make decisions. All I have to ask myself, will this next step that I make get me closer to the top of my mountain or take me away from the top of my mountain? But when a person doesn't know where they're going, then every route will get you there. You know, if you're going nowhere, then no matter which way you go, it'll take you nowhere. So that's chachma. So a person who is a chacham is a person who sees what can be and has that ideal vision of the whole life that they want to live.
Now, that part about the whole life to me is so important, because I'm realizing, as you're explaining too, let's say the doctor, sometimes we segment our lives, but we don't necessarily think of a whole picture. As you're saying, sometimes professionally we'll think, okay, I need to be the best that I can no matter what profession I'm going into. And we can drive ourselves and focus ourselves and be hard workers. But that's just one segment of our life, and maybe not even the most important segment of our life.
Right. You know, there is no mitzvah, there is no commandment in the Torah, thou shalt succeed. Nowhere. It says, ubacharta b'chayim, choose life. And the whole theme of Jewish life is about choosing life. But most people are choosing success. Now, to choose life means to choose to also fail. Not that you're going to try and fail, but realize that if I'm going to live my life, I'm probably going to make mistakes, right? And if you really don't want to live life, then run away from all risks and avoid every possibility of making a mistake. And you'll live a very, you know, sterile life, but not a very alive life. So life includes the possibility of making mistakes. But we're not here to succeed. And so a lot of people are paralyzed because it's all about succeeding at something. And therefore, they pick one thing they can succeed at, like medicine, and then they fail at their marriage, or they fail in their parenting.
And I'm thinking, though, when I think one of the challenges we fall into is knowledge, as you were saying, at school, you can memorize a bunch of facts, and not to say there isn't application and certain intelligence needed about how to apply it, but it seems as though there's almost like a set formula about how we can properly potentially apply that knowledge. Whereas other aspects of life that really need this chachma, this other kind of attribute, it's not necessarily as clear cut as far as, you know, if I do X, Y, and Z, I'll have a good marriage. If I do X, Y, and Z, now obviously there's skills to learn that can help in a marriage, help in parenting, help in other aspects of a meaningful life. But those things aren't necessarily as easily learned. When we return Soul Talk, Rabbi David Aaron and Leora Mandel.
I'm Jono Vandoor.
And I'm Ross Nichols.
Join us on our program, Israel on My Mind, a show that broadcasts all the weekly goodness that flows like milk and honey from the Holy Land straight into your ears with humorous and happy news stories.
We're going to be talking about...
What are we going to talk about?
A person who takes out a terrorist with a pizza tray.
And there's Donald Trump talking to a turkey. What's that about?
A 71-year-old rock star is a staunch supporter of Israel.
Join us on our program, Israel on My Mind.
Every Thursday.
Welcome back to Soul Talk. This is Leora Mandel with Rabbi David Aaron. I've been asking the rabbi to get an understanding of the difference between, I guess, what we'd call knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge is a lot of information we can attain. We can use knowledge to become great in careers and certain aspects of our life, but it doesn't necessarily mean we're going to live a wise life. And before the break, Rabbi, you were explaining the concept of chachma, what really is foresight, one who sees the outcome, goal-minded in your whole life, not just a segment of your life and seeing the whole picture. Then you also mentioned there's also the concept of bina, which is we translate as understanding, but what is it really?
Well, so bina is strategic thinking. Bina, the word bina is connected to the Hebrew word binyan, which means structure or building. It's also connected to the word bein zeh lezeh, discerning and distinguishing between this and that. In Kabbalah, chachma is metaphorically described as the male seed, but bina is the womb of the woman. And she takes the seed, which is a flash of inspiration, so to speak. You know, that's the chachma. I have this inspiring vision of what could be. But she then takes it, and she then takes and pulls out of this seed of a dream the details that are necessary to get there. So in many ways, you know, bina would be what's referred to as being smart, which is specific, measurable, accountable, reachable, tangible goals. In other words, chachma is just a dream without bina. Bina already comes up with the plan. Chachma says, what do I want to get out of life? Bina says, how are you going to do it? You know? And bina helps us determine the game rules that I have to play by in order to get to my goal. Because, you know, very often people are not succeeding because they're simply playing by the wrong rules. You know, if I'm in a football game, but I'm playing by the rules of soccer, and I don't know why I'm getting so frustrated because you got the wrong rules. So I ask my students, I say, give me your goal. So a person says, you know, I really want to succeed in my Torah learning. Okay, give me three rules that you need to abide by in order to succeed. Like, for instance, thou shalt go to bed on time. Because if you really want to succeed in your learning and you're going to bed at 3 o'clock in the morning and you're waking up exhausted, you're not going to succeed because you are, you know, you are violating an important rule that must be kept in order to get to where you want to go. So people need to get down to, so the bina actually creates and articulates the rules of my life. What are the rules? You know, like a person says, I really want to have a fabulous marriage. Okay, so what are some of the rules that you need to abide by to have a fabulous marriage? One rule is thou shalt share significant time with your spouse. Because anybody that doesn't have time for their spouse is not going to have a relationship with their spouse. Oxygen of a relationship is time, right? But it's got to be quality time. So that's a rule. You know, so people have to come up with a strategy with the various game rules that they need to live by in order to get to their goals. So that's Bina.
And is there, like, obviously the Torah, I would say, is the place to look for these strategies. But I'm realizing sometimes I think we can have these great ideas and great goals. Some people more naturally can come up with the strategies of how to get there. And other people, like, I think we get married, we have these visions of having a wonderful marriage or being great parents. And then sometimes I think we can get lost in the, obviously you have to even have that goal to begin with. If we haven't thought about the goals for our lives, which easily can already be the first challenge of the Chachma stage, then it's hard to even get anywhere close to achieving it. But then we can have these great goals, and all of a sudden we can be living our lives and finding we're sort of we don't know what strategies, or at least the ones we're using aren't really working all that well.
Well, you know, the sad thing is a lot of people never really took a course in marriage or took a course in parenting. I need to take a course in driving. I have to get my license in driving in Israel. It's very common that people fail a couple of times before they ever get their license because they're so hard on the test is so difficult that they want to be sure that you really know what you're doing behind the wheel. And yet behind the wheel of my life, my marriage, my children, haven't had much education there at all, and nobody gives me a license to practice. We need to spend the time. I mean, everybody's going to say, I want a wonderful marriage. How much time have I sat down to really define what is a wonderful marriage? Right? What are the strategies of a wonderful marriage? How many books have I actually even read about what makes a wonderful marriage? How many wonderful marriages have I witnessed and interviewed couples in? What are their secrets to a great marriage? And what are the rules that I'm going to stick by in order to have a wonderful marriage? You know, I mean, I know a couple that are having some serious marital problems now. And I said, well, you know, tell me about your Shabbats. Oh, every Shabbat we're with our best friends. I said, what are you doing with your best friends on every Shabbat? Oh, our kids love each other. Our kids love each other. And it's amazing. It's amazing. So that's the problem. The problem is they're living by the wrong rules.
And I think that's a problem sometimes we find ourselves falling into, is that we end up in a situation, unless we take a step out of it, we don't even necessarily see where we've gone wrong. And then we actually, if we can change the structure of the way we're living our lives, we can revise our lives to have a more purposeful, meaningful, effective life, a better marriage, and better parenting. But the point that you're making, that again, it takes even to drive, it takes lessons. Most things take lessons, anything that's important, and that, especially with education. A doctor, for example, it takes many, many, many years before you're going to get licensed as a doctor, because there's an understanding that as much as a doctor has a tremendous ability to heal and to help, he also, if he's not sure what he's doing, the stakes are very high if there's any mistakes that are made. And same thing behind the wheel of a car. It's very effective and useful. My daughter keeps saying, Mommy, why can't I drive? She's 10 years old. I'm like, sweetheart. She's like, it looks simple. You put your foot on the gas, you put your foot on the brake, you turn the wheel. I was like, it looks simple, but if you make a mistake, it can be really quite serious. But you're right, as you're saying, our lives, our raising children, which is so important. You're raising human beings to be the next generation. The whole world in each one of our children. Our marriages, which is the center point of the home, even for the environment of raising our children or for our own well-being and our own potential for personal growth and development. Something that, you know, it's not standard. It's not required that we take classes and lessons, but that's something that on our own, rather than starting to live our lives and saying, okay, I think I know how to be a good parent. I think I could be a good spouse. And then finding out that my strategies might be off. It's better to be proactive, or even if you're already in a situation, say, wait a minute, you know, maybe we're having trouble because we haven't actually learned proper strategy. We haven't really gained the Bina that we need about how to make the best marriage that we can together.
Right. We need to talk about Dot. We have time now.
Yes,
we're
going
to do it
ahead.
After the break.
Start it.
Dot is born out of when I have the right vision and I've got the right plan and they really fit each other, I will get this powerful sense of yes, I can. Uh-huh. That's it. I get it. That's what I want. In Kabbalah, there is 10 sefirot, but when you count them, there seems to be 11. So really, when you count Keter, which is willpower, you don't count dot, which is knowing. And if you count dot, then you don't count keter. That's because keter, which is willpower, is actually dot. In other words, willpower is, we all start off with, I want, therefore I am. That is the essence of life. Life is wanting. We are always wanting something, someone. We always want. That is life force itself. Kachman says, well, what do you want? Right? Bina says, how are you going to get it? And when you can answer the what do you want, how are you going to get it, and it matches well, then Dot says, yes, that's what I want. And I have this incredible laser-focused will, and I feel determined, and I am decisive, and nothing's going to stop me because I know where I want to go, and I know how I'm going to get there.
So this is what really brings it all about then.
Our daily prayers, the end of the prayer is Baruch Ata Hashem Chonen Adat, blessed be you, God, who gifts us dot. Because if you can't get to the determination, if you can't get to the clarity of the laser vision of what you want, then all your beautiful dreams and all your beautiful strategies and plans and rules mean nothing, because you're not going to go there because you don't really have the determination.
So you really need all three, meaning living a wise life is needing the Chachma, the Bina, and the Da'at, because any one on their own, or if we don't take it to the next level, then we sort of aren't going to get to where we need to get to.
You need the all three, yeah. And then, the Chachma, which is the vision, which is the dream that fuels my passion, but it's the Bina, which is fuels my caution. Because Bina is saying, okay, you got a dream. Now, you got to be really cautious. Stick to the rules. Stick to your plan, right? Keep a good pace. Don't burn yourself out. And, that's how it works. You know, so a person has to ask themselves, if they're not feeling passion in their life, then it's somehow they've lost touch with their dreams. If they're feeling passionate but somewhat reckless, and they're making all these mistakes, and they're very impatient, and they're frustrated, that's because somehow they're not really following their plan, and things are getting out of hand.
So at any point, we need to really examine each and every one of these. Are they attributes? We call these attributes, or what would we call these?
Well, the power. These are intellectual powers.
Intellectual powers.
Visionary thinking, strategic thinking, and decisiveness.
And these, if we can apply all of these visionary powers to our life, then this is what really will give us meaning, purpose, and really propel us forward to become who we really can become at the highest and ultimate level. When we return, Soul Talk, read by David Aaron and Leora Mandel.
Hi everyone, this is Andrea Simintow from Jerusalem, inviting you to drop everything and join me on my show, Pull Up a Chair. We'll visit this week's quirky stories, meet fabulous guests, and discover my Israel. Together we'll laugh, shout, and explain the topics that make us say, hey, we've got to talk about that. So get comfortable and pull up a chair with me, Andrea Simintow, every Thursday on Israel News Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome back to Soul Talk. I'm here with Rabbi David Aaron, really getting an understanding of how to live a wise life. And there's really three components we've been discussing: the concept of chachma, foresight, goal-oriented thinking, learning from everybody, bina, which is strategic thinking, actually giving some sort of structure to the goals that we have. How am I going to get there? And then the dot is the determination to actually make this happen, this willpower that says this is right, put together the chachma and the bina, and I can live my life this way, and I have a certain power and determination to bring this about. One of the things you mentioned, that we have to make sure we live our lives sort of looking at the big picture. On the other hand, sometimes we get so focused, and we also need to sort of keep tabs on the smaller segments of our life. So how can we sort of, especially to make this happen, there has to be this sort of combination, I think, of on the one hand, keeping a certain level of goal-oriented thinking. What's, you know, where am I trying to go to? I have a sort of foresight and vision into that direction. But on the other hand, I'm at a given spot right now. I need to focus on where I am. How do I find this right balance so that I can live this wise life of seeing where I need to go, but then not being so focused on what I'm trying to get to, that I lose focus of where I am right now, where I'm holding what needs to be done in this smaller segmentation of my life?
Well, the key to everything is asking the right questions. I find that a lot of people are just either not asking questions or asking the wrong question. The right question to always ask myself is, how can this moment, this event, this situation, this crisis, this opportunity, whatever, how can this be an opportunity to grow? And always stay in the growth mindedness. In other words, a lot of times people ask, why is this happening to me? And that's the wrong question. Why is this happening? Because you're generally not going to know why this is happening to you. You know, if God wants to tell you, he will. And for some reason, he often doesn't tell us why this is happening to me. But a better question is, now this is happening, now that this is happening to me, what is this happening asking of me? Don't ask why this is happening, but let the happening ask, what can I learn from this? How can I grow from this? And when you ask the right questions, you tend to get the right answers. When a person asks, you know, why is this happening to me? So your mind's going to say, well, because you're a jerk, because you deserve it, because, you know, and then you'll just get, you know, drawn away with all this negative thinking. But if a person says, look it, now that this is happening to me, what is this happening asking of me? How can I grow through this? How can I become a better person, a kinder person, a more focused person? And then when I ask that question, then that'll set my mind and my soul in the direction to go find the answer to that question. But it all starts with the kind of question you ask, because that'll set your neshama, your soul, in the direction of looking for the answer.
Well, this self-talk, the talk and questioning, it's true. It's so central and important, because I think there's so many times that things happen, let's say something frustrating, and if we just leave it as, oh, this is frustrating, upsetting, aggravating, but don't ask the question that you're asking, which is, how can this situation be an opportunity for me to grow? Then it just is left as a frustrating, aggravating experience, and I'm not learning this. On the other hand, it can be even a frustration with the thought that you're putting here out. Can be an opportunity. Instead of it just being left as a frustration, it can say, well, I didn't want this to happen. This isn't how I would have chosen to learn this lesson, but this is an opportunity to grow. And if I take it as that, again, it's not, as you're saying, wisdom is also learning from other people, but then I guess it's also learning from our own lives. If whenever anything happens in our life, good things too. If we ask this question of, how is this situation an opportunity for me to grow? Then I'm constantly learning and becoming more wise within my own life through the various situations that arise in my life.
Right. You know, Judaism teaches that we are here to bring the presence of God into the world. Now, the presence of God in the world is synonymous with saying the presence of goodness in the world, the presence of wisdom, the presence of kindness, the presence of truth, the presence of peace, the presence of compassion, the presence of empathy, you know, and really problems set the stage for that. Like, to really bring love into the world, then anticipate that there'll be a lot of conditions challenging love, because otherwise our love is just robotic-like. And so it's important to understand that rather than getting frustrated, right, just realize that that's par for the course. That really, in order to be a loving person, a genuinely loving person, I can expect that there will be challenges to love, because if there were no challenges to my love, if all the conditions were in favor of love, then how could I ever demonstrate unconditional love? Unconditional love means I love you even though the conditions are challenging me, you know, or true peace. You know, if there's no opportunity for conflict, so then this is not peace. This is just non-conflict. But when there's real conflict and we work through that conflict, we bring peace into the world. Wow, we just really brought peace into the world. And so a person has to understand that the problems are really the raw material that makes life what life is about. And so not be surprised by the problems, but rather anticipate the problems and see how the problem is setting the stage for, you know, amazing growth, so that you can bring you know, goodness into the world in a real sincere way and not just simply robotically.
You know, I have to say, Rabbi, what you've just shared is such wisdom. We're talking about wisdom for life, and it's a whole approach to life is really what it comes down to. It's not just about facts. It's about a whole approach that we grow through life. And I think that's really what this comes down to, is that we can have a lot of information. I mean, thinking with the Torah, there's a lot of information in the Torah, but if we don't actually live our lives with it, it just sort of stays as information in our head, we aren't necessarily going to be enriched by what we can gain from if we actually live the Torah. And what you're sharing is such wisdom, but it's a whole approach you have to have towards life that then changes every aspect of your life for the better.
Well, it goes back to the Chachmah. When a person has a clarity of their goals, then everything flows from there. If my goal is to bring God to the world, and what that means is to bring every ingredient of goodness to the world, which means love and kindness and peace and truth and justice and integrity, then that's what I'm here to do. But most people have no clue what they're here to do. In the meantime, they're just making and trying to make a lot of money. You know, so they're making a living, but they're not living a living. And they are, you know, earning a lot of money, but they're not really yearning a lot of meaning. And so that's what we really need to get back to, is go down to the basics of the basics. Why on earth am I here? And I'm here to live a good life. And a good life is a life that is dedicated to bringing good to all of life. And when a person has that attitude, then everything flows from there. That's the wisdom, you know, because I have a compass. I have a North Star. I know I'm here to serve, to bring greater goodness to the world and to those around me and to myself. And then define what is that goodness, you know. And sadly enough, too many people think that that goodness is money, when money isn't goodness. Money is a tool. Money is a opportunity, but what do you do with the money? Just to have money for the sake of money is not very valuable at all. What gives money value is what you can do with it. And if your life is to bring goodness to the world, then you ask yourself, how does money help me bring good to people?
It's really about having a mission statement for our lives that we can then go back to as we're living our lives and sort of say, okay, this is what I'm doing in different, you know, different segments of my life. Is this really living up to the mission statement of what I recognize is really what is important to me to be doing in life? But again, first we have to sit down and really think it through of what am I doing everything I'm doing for? And the mission statement you're stating, which could and should be all of our mission statement about bringing God into the world. And that, again, it colors every aspect of our lives, because any situation that we go through, the question then is, you know, I'm getting this education, but is this just for my own glory? Is this just so I can make money? Is, you know, the question is why? Or is it, if my mission statement is to bring God into the world, well, how can I do that through my profession? If my mission statement is to bring God into the world, how can I bring God into my life with my wife? Shalom bayit, peace in the home, is what brings God's presence. Same thing with raising my, it changes, you're right, every aspect of all the important things in our life that we do. But first we have to have clarity on what that mission statement is. And I'm thinking for myself, the idea of bringing God into the world as a mission is hugely important, and really just changes every, if we can really apply it and live it, will change every aspect of our lives.
Right. We just have to be very careful, because when we say bring God into our life, a lot of people think of God as a person. Not that God is less than a person, but how do I bring the infinite person God into my life? But in Judaism, all we know about God are the divine attributes. And the divine attributes is kindness and wisdom and love and compassion and truth. That's what we know about God, you know. And so it's very important to understand that to bring God into the world is synonymous with bringing good into the world. And then the question is, what are the different ingredients that together make life a good life and bring goodness to other people?
But those ingredients actually are, I think, a key component because we're saying we can have a general direction we're going in, a general goal, which is bringing godliness into my life and into the world. But then, as you're saying, the bina, the strategic thinking, the structure, sometimes we have these great lofty goals, but then, okay, how do I bring godliness into my life? And as you're giving this list of strategic planning and attributes of you know, bringing good, kindness, compassion, mercy, doing good for others. Those are actually practical tools, the structure that we can build from this general goal that we have. And then instead of seeing, you know, a situation, let's say a certain frustration happens or someone asks for my help, do I say, oh, what's going on? You know, why can't they take care of things themselves, or I don't have time for this, or whatever our reaction could possibly be. But if I recognize my goal is to bring godliness into the world, into my life, and part of doing that is doing good for others, especially even when maybe it's not convenient to me, then that is the da'at of knowing, the determination of, okay, you know what? Here's an opportunity for me to actually live what I say I want to do.
Yep, that is a wise life.
I want to thank you, Rabbi Aaron. I want to thank you all for joining us. Soul Talk, Rabbi David Aaron and Leora Mandel. And you've definitely given me, and I hope all of us, more wisdom to live a wise life, which is the real, true life that we want to be living. I hope you'll join us next week. Soul Talk, Rabbi David Aaron and Leora Mandel.
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candle lighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.